Blog Talk Radio.
Santos, founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, headquartered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Today is Monday in Philadelphia. It's a cool day here, just to change from the really hot days we've had over the summer. I think we are now feeling the presence of fall here in Philadelphia. So I'd just like to thank all of the listeners right now for joining with us on today's program. We have with us today already standing by is Tara Wise, who's the founder and a strong advocate for women veterans out of San Diego, California, of the National Military Women Veterans of America. And so correct me if I'm wrong, I think the National Military Women Veterans Association of America is the correct title to the organization that has done great work that are impacting lives across the country. And we were glad to have her on our line here. But I just want to just thank all of the women veterans, first of all, for your service to our country and for all of the great work you're doing throughout our nation. And I'm understanding there's a lot of discussion. I've just been accessing just a little bit of it on Facebook, but I'm just glad to hear women veterans talking to one another. And we're going to be talking a little bit about some of those discussions and how we believe that we can benefit from them all, because I think all of the work is important. But we're going to be talking about some specific activities and leading to some strategies that we'll be talking about that will be reported back to some higher-ups, the Pentagon advisors, which I'll be sending in a report probably today or tomorrow, depending on what information has come out of this broadcast today. But certainly we're just glad to have with us those sisters who are out there in the trenches doing what they need to do to get the agenda concerning women veterans to the forefront of the discussions for important legislators. So right now we're going to bring in Tara, and I'm just so proud of Tara because I know that she is a very, very strong advocate, and we have to make sure that those platforms that can be made available are provided to her so that she can share with the nation what God has given to her. I'm very spiritual about our discussion here in that I don't think the levels of advocacy is given to everybody, but certainly I believe that where they, Tara is at this point, it's an anointed time for her. And I think that this is an opportunity for her to be used in certain areas of the advocacy, but I think it's just the beginning. We're at the tip of the iceberg for bringing these concerns strategically together for impacting the nation in a real way. Ms. Mike, are you there? Ms. Mike, are you there on the line?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
I do apologize, but I thank you so much for joining us today. I did introduce you as being one of our stronger advocates in the country and for the great work that you're doing. And I wanted to preface our dialogue here today with our listeners on some specifics that you believe are important for discussion or to at least have included in our report that we're going to be sending to the Pentagon later on today or tomorrow morning.
Yes, Kathy, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay. First off, I wanted to start off by doing a small recap on our travel to the Washington, D.C. area about a week ago. For the Congressional Black Caucus, we had the opportunity to meet with the chair, also to meet with quite a few people that have been doing a large variation and variety of works on behalf of the veterans community and mainly women veterans. And I, of course, would like to give a thanks to Congresswoman Gwen Moore, who did the Veterans Brain Trust with the Congressional Black Caucus to help further those efforts as far as awareness on behalf of what I consider to be a lack of voice, the women veterans of America. I also wanted to add that Congresswoman Jackie Spears, she's been marvelous advocating. She's went before the House on 7 different occasions pertaining to women veterans and the issues surrounding military sexual trauma. She has vowed to dedicate her time to giving special interest into military veteran women. We actually had a chance to meet and discuss some things that we're pursuing in the coming year, 2012, pertaining to advocacy and awareness and to make sure that we stand a strong voice on behalf of the MST, which is one of the primary concerns affiliated with the mental health status of most women from active duty service. So I just wanted to make sure that I put that that piece in there pertaining to what our efforts will be in the coming year. But there was, you know, there's another issue that I think that we need to address, considering we just came back from having this this panel discussion with the Pentagon. Yourself, you did, and I met with numerous politicians in Washington pertaining to the advocacy and awareness on behalf of women vets. And it seems as though the women veterans are there's some disconnect. And I think that it needs to be addressed because there is no I in team. This is a team effort. It takes everyone. It's not someone's out to get another woman veteran organization or someone's efforts at any level. One of the things that I think that women veterans overall in our nation don't realize is that the Department of Justice, the Inspector General's report that came out last year was very clear to say that, you know, women veterans have operated and advocated so dysfunctionally that we have not been able to, the government can't provide us with resources because we act as though we don't know how to obtain them. We as a unit, as a collective unit, we have on a national level act like we have not used our own voice to some level, and that it's difficult for the government to assist us when we don't know how to function amongst one another. So that has been a challenge. And the government recognized that when they did their research and their studies, they were able to recognize that women veterans do need a voice, but it's hard to assist them when they're not being boisterous about what their needs are. So I commend the government for what, the things that they have done to open up this dialogue and to listen and be more attentive to our concerns. But we still have a very long way to go. There's a 501c organization, which is Final Salute, that is doing great efforts out in the Haymarket, Virginia area. And there was a post that was posted by one of the women veterans, and she had stated that, you know, she had an issue with TSA, Homeland Security, and those different governmental agencies when she applied, and the disconnect as far as the mental health status, you know, which includes military sexual trauma, PTSD, anxiety disorder. And immediately the response that she got was, you know, don't try to deter our efforts. You know, we're trying to do something good, and it doesn't apply to everybody. You know, and I was sitting on the outside looking in, and I just said, it's not even about that. What it's about is that we have to stay connected together. It's not that you shun one person because they're not being because they're stating what has happened to them. All the various government agencies, Homeland Security, TSA, even your local police departments and firefighter departments, Border Patrol, a lot of veterans are finding it to be a challenge to get employment with them because of the PTSD, MST, combat-related disorders that they're diagnosed and which is actually placed on their DD-214. And these are real issues, and that's what we do. We do advocacy awareness on the real issues and the real challenges that women veterans are facing out here in the community when it comes to employment. When you look at any organization, it doesn't matter which organization it is, if you decided to do transitional housing, your target market is going to be women who are victims of this, that are not able to obtain employment, that are having challenges getting employment through government agencies, that don't understand that because of these particular codes that they're placing on their DD-214s, that it will impact their psychological and also their credit, because at some time or another, if they've been out of work for a while, it will impact their credit. And credit is something that various government agencies take a look at when in their hiring processes. So these are things that we, Kathy, of course, you know, you're very diligent at it yourself, advocate for on Capitol Hill. And I think that, you know, overall, as a nation as a whole, if someone has taken one focus into a particular area, they need to understand all the dynamics that play into what they're doing as an organization. It's one thing to say, you know, we're going to have a career fair, we're going to have a health fair, things of that magnitude, but you also need to know what the disconnects are so that you can provide the proper services to that to our population when the opportunity permits itself, because we don't want to be historically like a lot of different organizations. We want to try to address these issues now. We don't want to wait 20, 30 years before we can have the advocacy awareness and the benefits and services provided to us over long term. We need immediate help, and I think that the Obama administration has put a lot of things into place as far as from a budget perspective, a grant perspective, and Kathy, I have to give my hats off to you too, because of your advocacy and your continued efforts, it has opened the door. That goes to Susan Miller Smith, you know, anew. They need to understand that we all have to stay united together, and it's not a one-woman show. It takes us all to unite together to do this and not make it territorial, you know. So I just wanted to be sure that I put that out there.
And I appreciate that, Tara, but I will tell you that as much as we are going to be talking about this issue in the next few discussions and dialogues on this program, I'm going to be talking about this particular concern and the division. It has to do with geographics, and it has to do with politics, and it also has to do with these individuals who have taken this platform on as a for other than advocacy agendas. I will tell you that the advocacy is either on the side of the VA or on the side of the veterans, and sometimes we have to listen to who's doing the advocating. Sometimes the veteran, the VA hospital, also advocates at these hearings in Congress. You will find the Department of Veterans Affairs Women's Division, and they have a select group of people. They have what they call chartered organizations. That means that these women veterans organizations and service organizations who have been sanctioned, if you will, by the Department of Veterans Affairs. And this is starts at the state
That's
level.
Correct.
But these,
That's correct.
But this information is then given to the various Washington, D.C. Powers to be. So when they have the various hearings, these are the ones that they contact back or have on somewhat of the contact list. And until you get to the level that you have qualified to be on these lists or you stay informed basically on your own research and that initiative, you kind of are excluded from that in-the-know kind of thing. So the charter organization, that's why it's somewhat important to have some of these with your state and city veterans organization, I mean government offices, because that state veterans office and that city veterans office should be respecting the work that you're doing locally enough that you can be on those lists. I have the application I think I want to share with you for the to certify yourself as a veteran service organization. This criteria, I think, goes through some process, but it will put you on that list as being a chartered organization. For advocacy, that means you're getting the level of respect in Washington. It doesn't mean that you're doing any less work, but it means that you've garnered certain support locally. And I think what we have to do is respect the protocols. And on the other thing that you mentioned about the government in Washington saying, well, the women veterans haven't educated enough of themselves, is because the women veterans have gone through the VA to get through this process, and the VA themselves have been advocating for the needs of women veterans. And that's not necessarily have it all in our favor, if you will, because in advocating for women veterans, they're also advocating for the VA, whether it's on the issue of pharmaceutical companies or all those things concerned. So now that we have empowered ourselves as how those various advocacy have been done from that side, I think we have a charge to advocate now for ourselves, because that's somewhat resisting our desire to live a certain quality of life. If you see the recent poll for homelessness, that was the big issue. Most states were advocating for homelessness and women veterans, and there was a lot of funding dollars. The National Alliance in Homelessness is a really big organization that has gotten millions of dollars to advocate on homelessness for people in general. So when women veterans' issue hit their table, they begin to advocate. So that advocacy and outreach just got so big that now they think all women veterans are homeless. So that's what we've been treated. So I think the level of advocacy depends on who's at the table, who we have listened to. So it's important that what you've done in Washington, we follow up on, because you have the ears. Now that you're at the table, you can be honest about what it is your experience is. All women veterans are not homeless, but desire not to be homeless. There are some of us who are in a position to help the homeless as women veterans who have a better understanding of some of the things that go on in their lives, if you would agree to that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, some of these dinosaur advocates who have been around so long to think that there have been so many changes, and they're advocating on the side of the VA. And you can't be a voice for both. You understand what I'm saying? Because the VA is not going to necessarily fund you if you're advocating against them, and if you really don't know how to do the advocacy work, it's inclusionary. You have to persuade the VA on the issues of the,
well,
of the veterans.
Well, Kathy, I think this is important also. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is important also. We have heard from the Virgin Islands and also Puerto Rico, the ladies for the Caribbean women veterans in that particular part of the territory, they have met with President Obama, and he was supposed to implement some things on their behalf. But because of the challenges that he has had with the budget and his congressional leaders and senator leaders, he has not been able to get they have not been able to get these things put into place. And so the women veterans in that particular part of the country do not have women's health. This is an issue. this is a sense of urgency.
Let me just say this to you. Many of those women coming out of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, even though they're part of the United States territorially, I do think there's some other issues concerning maybe their residency and what they qualify for. And a lot of these veterans that are advocating, first of all, you have to make the distinction of whether they were active duty, whether they were reservists. They're trying to change the whole Department of Veterans Affairs and the Pentagon Department of Defense policies on how this country is run. We're advocating on how the military and the Department of Defense is running this country in terms of protecting us. That's a whole level of concentration. So when we listen to advocates, and just because a person say, I served and we're not getting health care, who are you and where are you calling me, who are you from? Those issues are so important. I think that the advocacy and how it impacts the government's ability to run this country in protecting us from foreign and alien attacks or whatever is very different when you're talking about those military who served during the military who are not even residents of this country but were able to serve based on some other dichotomy. I'm not even sure. Those decisions are so relevant. So we can't, it's not a blanket advocacy. I'm an advocate. I don't have health care. I don't have this. They have to know who are these people and what are they talking about? Why aren't their legislators advocating for them if they have representation at the federal level that is acknowledged? That you can't get immigration reform through this process, just like don't ask, don't tell. You can't be married as a civilian and go into the military and now it's accepted right away. There are still some things that is not yet policy in our country. There's a lot of backdooring things trying to be going on, and we have to use wisdom on who's coming through the door, Kara, and that we have to respect our government enough to know that they know what they're doing. So when you talk about foreign entities,
and I agree with that, but it's also in the same, excuse me, Kathy, but also in the same retrospect, I think that it's important that if they are women veterans and they served in the military and they are in need of health care, because of their territory, they don't have leadership, they don't have voting rights, their congressional leaders don't have voting rights in Washington, and so that's one of their challenges, and so that's the legislative thing. The legislative policies, of course, is always an issue, and I think that what I wanted to bring that back to is that how the various 501c3 organizations, which are nonprofit, how they fit into our advocacy and awareness on Capitol Hill and the challenges that the government has. And so the funding, the floodgate as far as funding for women veterans didn't start just because Tara started National Women Veterans Award, for whether or not Kathy just started doing what she's doing because she's been doing it for 20 years. But it's been a long time for a lot of people, a lot of women vets before us that have been, you know, trying to assist the government to better service us as military veteran women. So I think that's important.
I do think it's important as well, but you have the geographic and the territorial issues that may present a challenge to some people. But we have to be very, very strategic and not alienate the government because, see, the next administration is not going to give us President Obama gave us. We have the attention on our issue because we have a president that is concerned about what has been denied us over the history of women veterans in the military. This is not something that's happened today. It's not a coincidence that we're having our issues addressed. We have a president and an administration that is paying attention to what we're saying. But if and when the administration changes, we will be where? That is a big question. So we have to be realistic about all those many impacting distinctions that we have to pay attention to and strategically approach this thing and frame it up in such a way where it is realistic. The one thing that I heard you say
I will also add that you are absolutely 100% correct. The Obama administration has supported women veterans far so more than any other presidential administration over our history. And hats off to his administration for doing that. We've had numerous women veterans across the board that have actually met with him. You yourself, you met with President Obama personally. You know, I've met with his staff. I haven't had a chance to sit down with him personally, but that's in the coming months. You know, we've already organized that. But the fact is that historically, there has Americans. And since we do have this opportunity to have this type of administration that has taken personal interest into our community, we need to use this opportunity to further our efforts as far as from a healthcare perspective, a jobs perspective, a business perspective, and also as far as all the other opportunities that are due to the housing piece, especially on behalf of our community.
Now, for the sake of this report that I'm going to be sending to the Pentagon, are you saying that the foreign issue is relative to where we are right now, or do we need to maybe suggest it but not expound on it? How would you suggest that we include the foreign issue? Because the one thing I know about
we need to make
sure
that regardless of which administration take it, whether it's the Obama administration or the upcoming administration that comes in, whoever that may be, they need to continue our efforts. We have had women veterans to speak to the Pentagon and various other on various panels for several years now, and every time the administration changes, it puts us behind. That's the same thing with H.R. 809. That bill has been given the shuffle due to the fact of a change in the administration, and we're military veteran women. It shouldn't, because of change in office and in leadership, it shouldn't impact us to the point where we keep getting put on the back burner.
And you're absolutely correct, but I will tell you also that the many distinctions that exist amongst the ranks, it's mostly unfamiliar to most of our leaders in Washington. They're not military. There are many more reservists and individuals who have served in our military in Congress right now. Otherwise, you're hearing stories about their grandparents and their sons and their daughters and so forth who have served. But I think we have to continue in our advocacy in a realistic way. You're on the right track, I think, and I support you and your efforts. I support Swan. I support Susan Abdullah. I support all of what they're doing. But we have to have a basis and an understanding amongst us who are seemingly at the lead of this thing to make sense out of it. Otherwise, we're going to get shut down. Nobody's going to listen to a lot of different conflicting stories about what's going on. We need to have some common ground on how we're going to approach the women veterans issues. Now, I know what's happened in Philadelphia. I've been watching it. I know what's going on because I talk to everybody. I tend to open up those discussions even when there's a resistance. Why? Because I recognize that if you're so territorial about what to do independently, then you're not talking to everybody. If you're so territorial about what you're doing as an organization, I know that you're not sharing this with all the organizations. So when you're talking about 55,000 women veterans in the state of Washington, I know one organization is not covering that. So unless you're in collaboration or creating some kind of consortium of all the organizations that are at the top in your state, many of these women veterans will never hear from Susan Abdullah Smith. Susan Abdullah Smith. And they will never hear from Angela Bugwater. She's one person. She does not have the abilities nor the resources to reach every single veteran in the country. So we have to network. There is no other way around it. The networking that is required of us as professionals should be one of the things that we need to be discussing. And if we don't discuss it, I'm going to make it an issue. Tara, I'm going to give you the final minute to this program. We have talked, and I have the foundation for what we will be discussing. October 13th, I will be doing a special 2 or 3 hour program talking about PTSD, breast cancer, and some of those issues we're going to be following up on with the Pentagon after this report is submitted to them.
Our follow-up here, Kathy, with San Diego, I'm sorry. Our follow-up here is that we have heard from the Ellen DeGeneres Show, who is going to be one of our supporters, and there's something that we're going to be working on in the coming months. We've also heard from the David Lynch Foundation and also the Obama administration. So in the 50,000-strong Women Veterans March on Capitol Hill next year around the April-May time frame, it's a united effort. It's not one voice. It's not just one individual. It's everyone's voice united together, regardless of what your differences is. It's just like when you're centered in the military. You were able to put your personal differences and your emotions to the side and address the cause, and this is the same fight, and all of the veterans need to understand that.
So you have a date for the march in Washington for next year? We should really start campaigning for that. What's the date?
We haven't set the date yet. We're looking at the permits and all the license surrounding that, but we're targeting the April-May time frame.
Okay, well, I'm going to listen up for that. We're signing off now. Thank you all for joining us. It's a very quick program. We're planning to establish some provisions for lifting our program. Please donate $5, $2 on our website. You can use a PayPal account. Just donate a dollar a month. We'll keep us on for 2 hours. We need to keep this discussion going. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Kathy Santos, founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, and Tara Wise, our special guest from San Diego, California, of the Military Women Veterans Association of America. And to all the women veterans in America who are listening, thank you for your service, and please support one another. It's important. Women Veterans Matter. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.